May the dear Lord help me to say a few things from Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, the first clause. I'll read the whole verse. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth. Dear Isaiah says, ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Oh, listen, friends, does it suit you? Come, ye that have no money. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Lovely, isn't it? Suits me. Wherefore do you spend that money for that which is not, and labour for that which satisfieth not? Oh, friends, buy the truth. You say, I've got nothing to pay, I've got nothing to buy it with. Well, the same dear voice sounds through the revelation, and he says, buy of me gold tried in the fire. He's selling, friends. Think of it. Not in the way you and I think, no. But in a gospel sense, he's got something to sell. Now, it's a directive word, this, buy, buy. You know, I think in a worldly sense, in the stock exchanges throughout the world, they have that one word constantly on their minds, buy. Sell, buy, sell. That is their daily living. What about you and me? What about spiritually, friend? Now, if you are buying, if you have this in your heart, buy the truth, it's going to cost you something. It's absolutely free. Absolutely free. What does God need from you? What does he need from me? Absolutely free. You know we don't understand that word. Free, free for all eternity. Free from all eternity. Then you begin to understand a little bit what free is, don't you? But it'll cost you something. You know, I was exercised about something in my life. And I believe the Lord, I opened a book and the Lord said these three words. Count the cost. Well, we was out on a Saturday and I went into a bookshop and I opened another book and the Lord said, count the cost. Three words. Friends, if you are a possessor, if you really are walking in the steps of a good man as a possession, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you tears. It's going to cost you many errands to the throne of grace. It's going to cost you in trial. It's going to cost you in trouble. You say, what do you know of it? We each have our own, friend. We each have our own. Sometimes trouble and trial is seen outwardly. Sometimes it's never seen at all. But you know it, and I know it. And the instruction is buy the truth. At what cost? Whatever cost, friends. It doesn't say the cost. It says buy the truth. And a child of God has no option. There's not a choice here, friends. The child of God doesn't have a choice. It's not something whether you can, I'll have it or not have it. That's on the earthly basis. That's in this world, friends, we can refuse. Irresistible grace you will never refuse. I remember our dear old pastor here, Mr. Tyler, he used to say efficacious. Friends, that is exactly what it means. There's such a power in this word. It'll be efficacious to you and you'll buy. You'll buy. You will. Well, it'll cost you many things, it will, and those of you that have been in this pathway buying for a long time, you know what it's cost you, don't you? Those sleepless nights, many sleepless nights, you think, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Keep buying, friends, keep buying. Diligent buyers, This is what we must be. Diligent in these things. Are we diligent? Are you and I diligent buying, are we? The truth. Jacob said to his sons, he said, go and buy corn down in Egypt. He didn't say stay at home and starve. He said, go and buy it. And so they did. They went down and they met such a harsh person, didn't they? They thought they met the most loving person in the whole of Egypt, friends. There wasn't another like Joseph, and especially to his brethren. And when the time came for them to go back, they took their sacks and he filled them to the brim. And then he said, put the money back in as well. Do you think Jesus doesn't do that to you? He gives you your supply and then he gives you your money back, doesn't he? All that strength, all that you've spent trying to buy, what's he give back? All of it, friend, and the corn. Otherwise you would have never got through to today, would you? He gives you all that strength back, doesn't he? And look at the lovely nights you have laying with your head upon his breast. Would you have that in the world? Would you have that if you were buying fleshly things? No, friends, you wouldn't. It's all in a precious Christ. And they went home and they had the corn and then they opened it and they said, we got the money as well. And they thought they were deceived. Do you know why they got the corn and the money? Because it's all free. Joseph didn't know how else to give it to them. It's absolutely free, friends. Completely. And the scripture tells us to buy honey. Honey. One of the most sweetest substances the Lord has given us on earth. Honey. He says, buy it for sweetness. And honey is in the gospel. And he says, buy oil for love. Well, it's not in us, is it? Have you been searching for love in yourself? I do sometimes. I think, if only I could feel that love again. If only I could have a drop of love again. Can't find it in myself. So where you got to go? You've got to go to someone else, haven't you? You've got to go out of self to find these things. And Jacob said to his sons, go again. Go again. So they went back again to Joseph. And he filled their corn up again. And he gave their money back again. And that's what Jesus does all the time to you and I. And you know, friends, sometimes with a hard heart, we take it and we take it. We take it for granted. He's going to give the money back. Oh, that grace would touch our hearts and we would realise that he's giving all the time to us. He's not withholding anything. He doesn't withhold. Friend, I know he withholds to make you pray harder. I know he withholds so that you see how precious grace is. I know that's why he withholds. And he withholds to make us better. He withholds to teach us really, because we're so unteachable. We are. Don't you find it in your heart? You come across those children, don't you? And they don't want to learn, do they? They don't want to, you can't teach them. It's almost like they're unteachable. But don't you see yourself there? Unteachable before God. He makes you teachable, friends, not you. The hymn writer says, doesn't he? Bring no money, price or aught. No good deeds or frames. Mercy never can be brought. Grace is free. And all's the Lamb's, all of it. All of it. What have you got this afternoon from him that you bought from him? Because I tell you, friend, you may have thought you bought it, but he gave it to you. He gave it to you. Laid up in a precious Christ for all his people. Every blessing laid up in Christ for eternity. Think of it. Is he precious to you? Is he? Buy the truth. Oh, well, have you got something to buy with? Are you trading in the gospel? Are you? Are you a trader? Do you come in and out this place and wherever it might be, in England or wherever, whatever country, do you trade in the gospel, do you? You got something to trade with, have you? A sinner's heart. It's tradable. It's tradable, friends. It is. An interest in his precious blood. It's tradable. It's things he's given you to trade. If he's opened your eyes and you understand a little bit of what you are, it's tradable. You've got nothing else. If you think you've got something else to trade, you haven't. There's absolutely nothing to trade with in and of ourselves. Only what he's given us and what we are by nature. And the currency. Some people know about currency, don't they? The exchange rate. The currency is always the same. It never changes. It never goes up. It never goes down. It's always exactly the same. If you've been trading 10 years ago, it's exactly the same to trade today. The currency is the same. Your sin, your inability to do anything, your inability to pray, your inability to praise, your inability as a poor, wretched, hell-deserving sinner to trade with the riches of his grace, to trade with that eternal precious blood. Think of it. And the currency is the same. And you know, the beauty of it is it'll be the same for our children. It'll be the same for our grandchildren. They'll all be trading with the same things. And the currency's not changing. Oh, that you could explain it to man. The preciousness. The vileness. We are the vileness. He is the preciousness. And there's a tradable factor there, friends. There is. And he's made it so. And the trade is in Christ. It is. We can approach him just as we are. Just as we are. Without anything in our pockets, but you've got something to trade with. And he comes to you absolutely full. You know, I love the meeting place of a poor sinner and God. And that meeting place is in Jesus. Full to the brim. Absolutely full of the supply for those that have come. And he's, friends, the more he dispenses, it never goes down. It's something that you and I and our hearts can't understand, because if we take from something, there's something that goes down and it has to be added to. It's not like that with Jesus. The more we take, the more he's got to give. It's not moving, friends. It's always overflowing, absolutely full. Are you buying? Are you buying the truth? It'd be a lovely thing if we were, wouldn't it? Be a lovely thing if we understood this word this afternoon, to buy. Oh, if that command went out through Zion, buy. Why? Why do you want to buy? Because now is the time. Now is the time to buy. In the earth, they have those times where it's time to sell, and then it's a time to buy. In the scripture, it's never a time to sell. Never. You won't find one place where it's a time to sell grace, but it's always a time to buy. And the time is now, for the time is short. The time's short. Buy it now. Buy grace, friends. Oh, wouldn't it be lovely? You know, if you went home with just a little bit this afternoon, if I did, if I was the only one, but I'd like you all to go home with a crumb that you've got from mercy's door. A crumb that you've brought from the King of Glory. But it's free. It's almost like a word that you can't really understand, isn't it? He's saying buy on the one hand, and on the other hand he's saying it's free. It's so that you and I should know what we are by nature. And that the precious blood of Jesus is more expensive than this whole world put together. It's more expensive than eternity, friends. The precious one small drop of that sprinkled blood is worth more than eternity. To a hell-deserving sinner. To one that has absolutely nothing. Oh, by the truth. Well, the truth is a tremendous word, isn't it? When we look at that, you sort of think, well, this is the truth, isn't it? But I can't seem to understand it. The truth as it is in Jesus. Everything about Jesus is true, and my heart can't understand it. God will never lie. He will never lie to the righteous, friends. Everything that he said here is true, but then also to the wicked. Everything he said to the wicked, it will come to pass. Oh, it's an old-fashioned saying, isn't it? The times have changed. We've moved on. God doesn't mean what he means, what he says. By the truth, it's as simple as that. Today, while you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, because every single word that has proceeded out of the Almighty's mouth he will bring to pass. He is truth. He is absolute truth. and the Satan, the arch enemy. Oh, doesn't he put some lies in your heart? Doesn't he? He'll tell you all sorts of things. He'll tell you that God didn't really mean it. And then he'll say on another account, God did mean it when he didn't. You think the lies that come into our hearts. If you're a soul bound for glory, you'll know these things. And oh, you'll be a trembler. But you'll want to know the truth. And I've always loved that word. That it's said twice, in two ways really. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Friends, the beauty in that word that I saw once, it's eternal. If the Son shall make you free. The Lord Jesus himself made us free. And it cost us nothing. It cost us absolutely nothing. He made us free forever. But then if you shall know the truth. That's it. If you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. And hasn't it? I hope it has. I know it has with some of your hearts. And you can't explain to another, can you, what truth really is? You've got to experience it, haven't you? You've got to experience the truth that sets you free, haven't you? When you see it in a precious Christ, and you can't see any sin, but you're free. Free. And may the truth be sent in it. May it be burnt in our hearts. You know, I used to hear the dear men at the prayer meeting when I was a lot younger. And they used to, oh, they did plead for the Lord to burn the truth in their heart. Burn it. And I used to think, what do they mean? What do they mean? Oh, I know a little bit now, friends. We need this truth burnt in our hearts by the truth. You know, when the slaves are at the market, they brand them with an iron. So that they know, the owner knows they're theirs. Think of the pain they go through, friends. But the owner knows. He's put his initial on them. And he knows they can't get away. He knows even if they run away, they'll be brought back to him. He knows that no one else will ever buy them without his say-so. Now you turn that round spiritually, friends, and if the Lord brand your heart with his initials, if the Lord brand your heart with the truth, you won't run away. Oftentimes we do feel like running away. Don't misunderstand me. Oh, we could run, couldn't we? That lovely hymn you just sung. Why do you think David said that? Oh, that I had the pinions of a dove. I'd fly away. He knew it. Oh, he knew he'd run. Oh, he'd run. He'd fly, friends. He'd fly away and be at rest. But he couldn't because the Lord had branded his heart with his initials. He branded him. He was his. And he couldn't go anywhere. And it's so it'll be with you and I, friends. If you try and escape, you'll be brought back. Oh, there's a guard of heavenly warriors at the gates. They'll bring you back. They will. It might be years later, but they'll bring you back. And friends, they'll bring in the prodigals back too. Those whom he has everlastingly loved, he's branded the truth in their heart, they'll be back. They will. Whatever place of worship they come back to, and it may not be a place of worship, but they'll be back to enter into the glory. That's coming because their heart's got the truth in them. By the truth. Well, I hope and pray we are. And oh, it would be lovely, wouldn't it, this afternoon to be trading in the gospel. To come in a poor, wretched sinner, to come in empty, to come in with nothing, and to go out with the riches of Christ. Have you ever done it? Have you ever known it, friends? To go out being the richest person in the world. Buying the truth, as it is in Jesus. All the promises are yea and amen in Christ. Oh, friends, if you've received a promise, you think when you go out into the world, the richest person that's ever lived. Buy the truth. Simple words, aren't they? You know, John the Baptist lost his head for the truth. He spoke up for what was right. And he had good standing to do it. He had the authority of God to do it. And they took his head from him. When Jesus came before Pilate. Poor Pilate. The truth was in front of him. The eternal Son of God was in front of him. And he asked him a question and he said, what is truth? Inquisitive. natural. We've all got it, haven't we? We've all got that natural side to us. And Jesus never answered him a word. You know, he could have told him so many things what the truth was, couldn't he? But he never answered. And I see such a beauty in the quietness of Jesus. I see such a beauty at times in his silence, even in our own hearts. Sometimes you get so despondent, really, don't you, that he won't answer you. Sometimes he's so silent, isn't he? And you think, if only the Lord would speak or say something, if only we'd just say one word, whatever it might be. He stayed silent. But there was a time when he spoke. And there will be a time in your life, child of God, when he speaks again. Because we know that if the Lord is silent, we are like those that go down into the pit, aren't we? But he won't have that. He won't. By the truth, who can redeem his brother? Who's got enough money to redeem their brother? Nobody. What would you redeem for your own soul, friend, let alone your brother's? Oh, we must rest on Christ, mustn't we? We must be found resting on him. Oh, this precious truth. Well, there was two people, one owed 50 pence and one owed 500. And I know you know it very well, friend, but what are you? What are you? Are you a 50 pence debtor or a 500 pence debtor? Because neither of them could pay. 50 pence! Couldn't pay it. And the dear Redeemer says, doesn't he? He says, when they had nothing to pay. He was watching them. He saw what they got in their banks. He saw how much they had on them. And the poor 500 pence debtor was obviously getting in more debt, wasn't he? But so was the 50 pence. They were both in debt. Doesn't matter how much, friends. Now, even if it had been a penny, he was in debt. But sovereign grace or sin abounding. Sovereign mercy's voice spoke. It did. It didn't leave them either of them out. Wonderful thing, isn't it? Oh, sovereign. Sovereign mercy of God. When they had nothing to pay, I was watching them both. They come right down to nothing. They absolutely nothing. They were empty. He frankly forgave them both. Who would love him most? I suppose the one that owed him 500 pence. Yes. He would love him most. But you know, even the 50 pence debtor loved him. Because he said, who would love him most? So the other one loved him as well, didn't he? Because he paid the debt. Well, I just see here, just as we pass, by the truth, out of the 10 virgins. Now, we often see them at the gate, don't we? We often see them at the door waiting to go in, don't we? And the bridegroom came and called them. But what about coming up to that time? They didn't arrive at the gate first, did they? No, they had a life to live. They had steps to walk out. They had a very twisting uphill pathway, didn't they? And they lived it. And if you look at the ones with an empty vessel, they lived it too. We'll wait till the end. Everything continues as it did from the beginning. There's nothing to worry about. I've got my lamp. I'll fill it when the time comes. How solemn. But what about the others? Oh, that precious lamp that they had. They lived a life too. And it was the Lord that gave them their lamp. And he gave them the oil. And you know, I see some dear old saints looking at their lamp. Morning, noon and night. Looking at that lamp. Will it be ready? Will it have enough oil in it for me? How many times they took that lamp down. And they looked inside. And there was barely any oil. And they put it back on the shelf and thought, it'll never carry me through. It'll never carry me through. How many times did they get their lamp and fall down on their knees and say, Lord, fill my lamp with just a little bit more oil, just a little bit more. If thou just give me just a little bit more, I know I can get through. But with the amount I've got, it's not enough. It's not enough. Ah, is that in our hearts? Everybody else was running about with a lamp, and these five virgins, they had their lamps and just a little oil in it. But the oil was grace. The oil came from Jesus. The oil was the Holy Spirit. And even, friends, if there was a drop, and we're not told how much, even if there was a drop, it was going to carry those five through the gate. How often did they meet together before ever they came to the gate? What are you worrying about? Why are you so plagued? Why are you troubled like other men? What's the matter with you? Why are you always in doubt? Why are you always fearing? We've got our lamps. And the five looked in and thought, Lord, please help me. Please help me. Oftentimes they would have met beforehand, friend. Oftentimes. But the time would come when they would meet for the final time. You think, friends, as they got to the gate and they knew each other. Don't think of it, do we? They got to the gate, friends. They spoke to each other. They stood before the eternal gates. And they said, our oil's run out. We haven't got any. We haven't got any oil. And the five wives said, go and buy from them that sell. We sat under the gospel for 20, 30 years. We only gathered two or three drops. Think of it. Two or three drops. Do you think we're going to give that away now? No. Go and buy from those that sell. And they did. They went to go. And while they were gone, the glorious one that had already filled the lamps for them opened the door. The bridegroom came. And they went in. They went in. They had enough oil to get in the gate. They had just enough oil, friends, to get within the gates of glory. The others come back and the door was shut. They didn't have the right oil, friends. They never had the right oil. Because had they had the right oil, that gate would have been open. They didn't have the right oil. It looked the same. You know, I work with oil. And there's many, many different types of oil. And they do many, many different jobs, but they all look like oil. But you know, if you put some oil in one application and another, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't do the job. It might start the engine up for a little while and then that would be it. Friends, they came back with the wrong oil and he never let them in. By the truth. It's a solemn word, isn't it? I know we think our old heart says, well, we know this. We've been through it so many times. Say tonight was the night when you were called. Say tonight was the night when the bridegroom came. Has your got oil got lamp in it? Has mine. Has your lamp got oil in it? Has mine. Tonight, we put it off, don't worry, we've heard it all. It's all about the 10 virgins. Tonight, the bridegroom came. Would I be ready? How did I hear today? How did I receive? Is Jesus precious to me? Does he mean anything to me? Or is he just a name that we keep hearing over and over again? Oh, you're relying on him, friend, aren't you? You're relying on him. You're laying on him. You're putting everything on him, aren't you? Every single thing you've got, you put on the name of Jesus, don't you? All the time, every day. The name of Jesus means so much, doesn't it? I would be faithful to God because we don't know. We don't know, friends. Well, it says, by the truth. And I was thinking of it like this. The truth is like a mine. It's like a deep mine. It's like a natural mine that the miners go down into, isn't it? And you know, the mines are dark places. But every miner has got to have his own light. Every single miner is issued a light before he goes down in, and it's on his helmet. If he goes down in without it, he won't see a lot. But you know, there are those times when another's light shines into your heart and you see. But on the most part, you've got to have your own light in the truth. If you're going down the mine, friends, like this mine here, if you go down it, you've got to have your own light on it. It's no good someone else telling you, is it, that there's light on that word. You may never see it on that word. But if you've got your own light, you'll see it on another word. You will. And these mines are narrow. They're low, aren't they? A real mine is low, isn't it? There's not a great space down there, is there? And the deer miner, as he goes down, as he looks and he goes through these corridors, only he knows the secrets of the mine. Nobody else. The people on the surface don't know. They can have a good report brought back to them, but they don't know what the mine's like, do they? Only the miner knows, friends, that goes down. So you and I have got to go into this scripture, haven't we? You and I have got to be found as miners. You know, it's a wonderful thing that the Lord doesn't restrict in age. The Lord doesn't, old or young, you'll be a miner in this mine, searching for him. You will. And now the miner, the normal miner, well, in these mines, there's shafts. And this is naturally, there's shafts. And every so often, there will be a shaft of light that goes into that dark mine. The shaft comes from above. The light comes from above, friends. They go along and there are these shafts, either man-made or natural, where the shaft sends the light sends a shaft straight down into the mine, and the miners can see a little bit without their light. You know, isn't that the same in the gospel? The gospel is a shaft of light from glory. It is. And every so often you see something, don't you? And then you have to move on in the darkness. And the miner travels mostly in the shade, doesn't he? Mostly in the dark. But you know, years ago when there were mines in this country, and there are other countries, they used to spend most of their life down the mine, and it changed their appearance. It made their faces look different. Now you turn that spiritually, friends. Oh, they came up white and pale because they hadn't seen the sun. They came up looking like death. What do you come up looking like when you come out of the mine, friends? Your face shines, doesn't it? You come up looking like life, don't you? You come up full of the sun because you've seen the sun in the mine. Oh, may we often spend time in the mine. This is what we need, isn't it? To know, to buy the truth that's found in the mine. Now, the miners, they brought up their treasure and they gave it to another. In here, the miner, the Lord gives the treasure and you keep it yourself. You know, it's not often like that in many things, but it is in the gospel. What he gives you, you keep for yourself. You do. And if the Lord really does give you a lot of treasure, if he really does give you a mine in time, and you have more than you need, you won't better keep your mouth shut. You won't. You'll tell the church. You will. You'll tell everybody about what you've got. You will. Because it'll be overflowing. And Jesus said, if these stones should hold their peace, even the stones should cry out. Oh, the truth, the mine. Now, with the miner, with his light, every now and again, he turns his head. And friends, I see such a beauty here that the light catches on the rock and he sees all these beautiful colours on the rock. And the spiritual miner has the same experience. he catches glimpses of Christ and all the beautiful colours that are found in this mine. Because just as a normal mine is mostly rock, some of these mines, they don't get much out of apart from rock. The jewels that they get or whatever they're looking for is so minimal compared with the amount of rock they get out. But the main thing is the mine is the rock, the substance. Exactly the same here. The substance of this mine is rock. And they catch little glimpses. And they come up to the surface and they say where a certain seam is that they feel that they should dig on. They say where they've seen different colours and they say that they should send more equipment down. Now look at it spiritually. It's of those private times where your light, the light that the Lord gives you on the scripture, and you think, I've got to go deeper. I've got to read that chapter again. I've got to hold that scripture and see what else is in it. Because my little light that the Lord gave me, I saw Christ and I'm going back. To be a real miner, friends, you and I, in these things. Now, those poor miners spent their life down there, didn't they? They spent their life on their knees in narrow tunnels and they didn't lift their heads very high. And most of their work was feeling around, trying to grope their way along. What about you and me? Our lives are spent on our knees. And you won't lift your head up very high, will you? The reason they didn't lift their heads up, friends, is because it would have been hit on the rock above. What's the reason you don't lift your head up? If you and I are found mining in this precious truth, there's no room for pride. There's no room to lift your head. None. The hymn writer says it, doesn't he? He says it once, I believe. He says, and then with joy we lift our head among the sons of God. When you catch a little glimpse of Christ, you lift your head up. If you don't, you're humbled. You know, you're even humbled when you see him. Even more so when you see him. But what I mean is you lift your head up in rejoicing, don't you? You lift your head up in praise, don't you? Oh, the lovely tales, the lovely stories, the lovely accounts that they must have come out those mines with. You know, some of those, they told lies about their age so that they could go down in the mine, didn't they? They wanted to go to work. And some were forced down in there. Oh, friends, the Lord doesn't, in one sense, force his people into this mine, but he will draw you. He will draw you. He'll draw you whatever age and he'll draw you into this mine and you'll go. You will. Now, I know the time's going, but there will be a lot of opposition. A lot of opposition. There is with a natural mine. The family, everyone tried to stop the miners because it was too dangerous for them. They tried to stop them going down into the dark. But go they must or they didn't live. Go they must. They must survive. And there would be a lot of opposition if you and I are a scriptural miner, a spiritual miner. There would be so much opposition put in front of us. There would be so many obstacles. Well, that's just a few little things about the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Sell it not. Sell it not, friends. He's telling us to sell it not. You know, in Samuel's day, the word of God was so precious. It was so precious. There was no open vision. But the word of God was precious in those days. Sell it not. Just one thing. You know, I read a little account about this poor family. And they didn't have anything. All they had left, they'd sold everything, was the family Bible. And you know, it was a mine to them. Oh, the tears on the page. It was something that they really loved. And they come to sell it. They had to sell it. You may know the story, but it so touched my heart. And they put it up for auction to see how much they would get for it. Well, the man picked the Bible up, ready to bid. and money fell out, enough to pay for the Bible and enough for them to live on. Think how close the Lord brings his people to sell the truth. But he knows what's in the heart. And that dear old Bible came back home and they had enough money to carry on. Sell it not. Whatever you have. And there will be a lot out there trading. There will be a lot out there bidding. The world says things are so attractive. The world tries to take everything from the child of God. It tries to grab it. It tries to portray such things, doesn't it? Don't sell it. Don't sell it to a father, a mother. Don't sell it to a sister or a brother. Don't sell it to a wife or a husband. Don't sell the truth. You're going to need it, friend. You and I are going to need it. And each one of our family are going to need it themselves. Don't sell it. The scripture says, sell it not. It doesn't mean to say sell it and then you can have it back. No. Never sell it. You're going to need it for yourselves. Each one of us. And our dear Lord Jesus, he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. He thought that was the price. He thought he'd be happy. He sold the truth. He thought, I've got what I want now. My heart's content. The Lord let him live long enough to realise what he'd done. He'd sold the eternal Son of God and the money meant nothing to him. Nothing at all. And he cast it down and he went out and hanged himself. And friends, that money was spent buying a field, a potter's field. And there Judas thought he was going to have it. The word of God is so true. Sell it not. The dear Redeemer brought his own people. He brought them with a price. The dear truth that we have here in the name of Jesus. I am the truth. He says, I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. He brought his people. And he paid the ultimate price. That's a lovely word, isn't it? In one of the epistles it says, ye are brought with a price. You're bought with a price, and yet you we could almost sell him, couldn't you? In your flesh, I mean. In our own hard heart. And it doesn't mean just selling him like we sell something. It means whatever you think about him, whatever angle you look at, where you're not receiving his grace, it's selling him to the world. Of being ashamed of him, it's selling him to the world. Turning away from him, it's selling him to the world. It is, friends. And he brought his people with a price. Even his own. His own. Some of these words are so beautiful, aren't they? His own heart's blood. His own. That's what's seen in glory. That's the price. That was the price for your soul. That was the price for redemption. His own blood. Sell it not. Isn't it precious? The truth, as it is in Jesus. Oh, if you have a little bit of light on it, friends. If you have a little bit of the Holy Spirit shining upon it. To think that he used his own blood. Not somebody else's. For the redemption of his people. Ye are bought with a price. Well, I'll leave you with this word. He brought you. And he won't sell you. He won't sell you to anybody. He won't sell you at all for all eternity. He brought you. We're not our own. Think of it. We're not our own, the apostle says. We're bought with a price. We're bought with a price. And you never sell it. He tells us not to sell it. And he fulfills the word in himself. And he's still fulfilling it today for you and I. You will never be sold. We sold ourselves under sin and he brought us back. He brought us with his own blood back and he's never going to sell us. These are real things, friends. These are real experiences to the child of God. You know, there's a lovely word, isn't it? It says, I have learned by experience. Well, this afternoon, as we close, what have you learned of experience of buying and selling? Because what I know, the Lord brought you and he won't sell you, ever. And you and I will learn that by experience. And you'll know it more and more, more and more, more and more, until he takes you in his arms forever and never lets you go. Then you'll understand what it means. You've been brought with a price. I'll leave it. But it's some lovely meditation, some lovely thoughts that Jesus is found here in the book of Proverbs. Jesus is found here with his arms outstretched wide. Thou art mine. Thou art mine. I've redeemed thee. I've called thee. Dear son of Jacob, dear daughter of Jacob, whoever you are, you're safe for eternity if he bought you. You're safe, friends, for those endless, endless years of eternity if he paid for you. Buy the truth, sell it not. May the dear Lord forgive anything that's been said amiss. Amen.